This is a colorful incident in the life of the preacher that affords a provocative text. It wasn't Jeremiah's idea. He was under orders. He was told to say something from the church steps. Amend your ways and your doings. Don't come in here and repeat the pious phrase you've had on your lips so long. This is the Lord's house. Every churchgoer, including myself, ought to ask himself or herself four questions on the church steps. First, what did you leave behind you as you started for church? There's so much that should never be brought into the church. I'm not thinking right now of things like pants suits and long hair and contemporary music. Perhaps there ought to be a convenient check room for such things where you could retrieve them when you leave. But I'm concerned with more serious items. Prejudice should be left behind. That can ruin a service. It may be likes and dislikes about preachers. It may be a thing about a soprano in the choir or an usher. My dislike colors the whole service. I prejudge. I render a decision before all the facts are in. I should leave it on the steps of the church and come through the church doors with open mind and heart. Hatred should be left behind. It has no place in the service. If thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift. First, be reconciled to thy brother, then come, offer thy gift. You cannot serve God with grievances bugging you. Criticism should be left behind. The only reason some people go to church is to find flaws. They analyze the mannerisms of the pulpit. They comment on the atrocious singing of the choir. A young man was proud of a notebook he carried to the service. "I jot down all the mistakes of the preacher," he said. "I make a note of his grammatical errors, his mispronunciations, his historical and scientific inaccuracies," and he was extremely proud of his analysis. But never was that young man's soul refreshed. Never was his vision enlarged. Never was his spiritual appetite quickened. He was looking for lint, dust, litter. He worshiped mistakes. There's a second question to ask at the steps of the church. Second, what did you bring with you? What we carry home depends a great deal upon what we brought to church. Most of our preparation for church today is occupied with material and outward. We want our skin and hair to be attractive. We carefully select clothing. We want apparel and jewelry to be appreciated. And if there's time left, we read the Sunday paper until it's time to leave the house for church. Our minds and spirits receive little preparation. Bring an open mind. A closed mind is narrow, selfish, and intolerant mind. That kind of mind ought not to come to church. An open mind welcomes truth. There are those who sit in pews who are so narrow-minded that their ears rub together. Paul said, "When I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood, and now I have put away the childish things." Bring a sympathetic mind. That mind in the audience will make a better preacher. It is easier to move with the grain rather than against it. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hearing is as important as speaking, and if there is no hearing going on in the congregation, the speaking should stop. Do you listen? Do you turn the platform off? Is it all a blur with no meaning or pattern? What do you hear in a service? Have you experienced a holy reverie? Have you been caught up? Do you adjust your wavelength or your channel as you enter God's house so that He may speak to you? Bring a prayerful heart. That will quicken the pulse of the meeting. The choir will sing better. The offering will be an act of worship. The anointing will be present. One raspy, soured preacher said at an ordination service, "Now, if this young brother departs from the faith, throw him out." But his fellow preacher prayed, "Lord, if this young brother departs from the faith, don't throw him out. Pray him back." That kind of attitude ought to come to church. And bring your pocketbook. You serve God through giving, just as you serve God through singing or Bible study, and it will regulate your spirituality. One businessman wrote on his ledger, "Lord, keep me and this book honest." And if you are dishonest with the Lord's money, you are too dishonest to go to heaven. There's a third question to be asked at the steps of the church. Third, what do you come to church for? Do you come because it is the respectable thing to do? Do you come to make contacts, to advertise your business? Do you come to worship God? When I hear a man say that he can worship God just as well on the golf course on a Sunday morning as he can in church, I would like to put that man under oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That man goes out to break par. That man plays for side bets on every hole and every stroke. The name of deity never enters your mind, mister. You are intent on winning that round of golf, and don't lie to me about what you do Sunday morning. Dwight Bradley tells us in language of poetry what worship is. It is the soul searching for its counterpart. It's a thirsty land crying out for rain. It is a drop in quest of the ocean. It is a voice in the night calling for help. It is the prodigal son running to his father. It is a hungry heart seeking for love. It is time flowing into eternity. And it is a man climbing the altar stairs to God. There's something about you, lady, that cannot feed on furniture and hairdresser appointments and tennis lessons. That part of you throbs toward God. And deny your soul access to church is like denying your body access to the restaurant. Did you come to give out? Peter said to the impotent man at the gate, "Such as I have, I give." It was what that man needed. Someone sitting in front of you, or beside you, or behind you needs your singing, needs your prayers, needs your faith in order to be able to walk again. And you and I can give a lot more beside money. We can give a smile, a handshake, a vote of confidence. They are lifesavers. Share your treasures of experience. Use your tears. Get with it, brother. Did you come to learn? More of Jesus would I learn. More of his precious will discern, more about Jesus. There are never too many services. I think now, after 44 years of preaching, what inconsequential parts of the Bible I have adventured into. I could covet another lifetime just to roam in Genesis. And there now remains a fourth question to be asked at the steps of the church. Fourth, what do you expect to carry away with you? No man comes out of the church the same as he went in. It is dangerous business going to church. I'm thinking of that person who resists the Spirit of God. A warrant for his arrest has been issued from the highest court of the universe. It was for Saul of Tarsus. Let me use the Living New Testament translation again. Paul tells the Galatians, "I was one of the most religious Jews of my age in the whole country, and tried as hard as I possibly could to follow all the old traditional rules of my religion. But then something happened. For even before I was born, God had chosen me to be his and called me. What kindness and grace. Your sentence may be suspended, sir. You may be wandering around on bail, but you have a date with your maker. You don't enter and leave a church as you would a museum, a ballpark, or a theater. The church fastens an eternal obligation on you. You know darkness because you've experienced light." Now what preacher, when the service concludes and the benediction is pronounced, and he watches the audience dwindle, does not wonder what people are carrying away? I know I do. Have I given them anything to ease the burden? Will they be reinforced for combat against temptation and unbelief? Did someone make a surrender at my altar? Will he be a better man? Will she be a better woman for it? I watch and I think and I pray, as they leave, I want a wife to have a better husband after my attendance at church. An employer should have a better employee. The government should have a better citizen. I want a child to have a better mother. I want a pupil to have a better teacher. And whether this happens depends a great deal upon the pulpit, of course. But it also depends upon you. What did you expect? What did you receive? And what are you taking home? Your foot will touch the church step again. And God willing, in the very near future, and may the Holy Spirit fasten this obligation upon you, for a greater than Jeremiah is checking us out as we enter and leave the sanctuary. My pulpit is inside, but he stands as we enter. He meets us at the church steps. And what are my answers? I believe these are the best days the church has ever experienced. There is an eagerness, and I find it everywhere. Congregations are multiplying. There's evidence of the supernatural everywhere, and it will touch you as we meet at the long, long altar in these next 10 seconds.